What a wonderful selection by Vicky accompanying Lucas out there. Just what's special to have the musicians, to have the music we have. Just over the last few weeks, Vicky, that your selections today, and especially that middle song you did, "Oh How He Loves You and Me." When I was up in Bible school, Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, that song was out, and it was when Kurt Kaiser, he wrote that song, just such a wonderful, simple chorus, "Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. And that song and that little chorus, just, you'd have students just singing the song and humming it. We were singing in the lunch line there one day. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful chorus, and how those choruses just reach out and touch the heart of people. Gidi, a couple of weeks ago, playing a wonderful classical piece there, and just touching our hearts over there. Marnell hitting that note last week, and I tell you, just in the choir singing, and Gilbert, don't throw your hands back in there. You did it like it's never been done before, brother, and I'm telling you right now. And I'll tell you something. If you come to Mount Calvary, there's a place where people, if God lays it upon their heart and spares them an accident, that they can come and just share love songs on their heart. When one of the great composers has a birthday, it's something that you can share, because that's what God has placed upon your heart. If you can hit a note that I've, tell you, there are not many better notes than I heard last week in Marnell when he hit that on. Wow, what a great, great, great hymn of the church, "How Great Thou Art." And if you want to just sing the choir and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you just come on and you just be a part of it. Because when you come to church, we come together. I always believe that this cross that is in front of me upon the communion table, it's what we stand for, it's what we preach, Christ and Him crucified. But at the foot of that cross, we are all equal. God doesn't have any superstars, folks. He may place a burden upon your heart that is different than the one He's going to place on Terry or myself or someone here, one of your friends here. But I tell you one thing, at that foot of the cross, we are all equal in His sight. This week, Valentine's. And hopefully, I hope Buddy's doing all right. Hope he's not sick or something today. But some guys I have to remind what day of the week's and when they have birthdays, anniversaries. But you know, it's going to be love songs. And I know you probably have a favorite love song, do you? Yeah. Arlene, I didn't see you earlier. Wave at me back, Arlene. Good to have you. I didn't, love is a many splendor. At last, my love, you stopped loving her to, yeah, here we go. We've got love songs over here. I heard a bit of a Cajun love song over there, like, yeah. I don't know what your love, all my ex, no, that's not a love song. I don't know what your love song is. I don't know what your love song is. I don't know what. Pastor Ed, some years ago, he would sing Devlin, and he would sing "Beyond the Sunset." Oh, what a wonderful old hymn he would sing. And he says, boy, that's a love song. You know, we have love songs, and this week there'll be flowers, and there'll be candy, and there'll be cards. Today I got a Valentine's card. Isn't that nice? I hope you got one out there. I tell you, if not, you can come explain to me what mine means. I'm not understanding the, I got one. But I'm keeping it. I like it. Love songs. Folks, this Bible that I have open, this is a love story. This is a love story. In the book of Romans, there's so many wonderful verses. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Amen. All have sinned. All have sinned. Then we read in Romans, I believe it's 6:23, for that wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this morning, I want to share with you Romans 8 in the first verse, just a part of it there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Once again, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing under the reading of your word today, and open our minds and hearts so we receive that truth from you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people. Amen. Amen. Over at work, one of the fellows that I work with over there, such kind-hearted soul, he's helped us out here at Mount Calvary many times. And Rogers, his name, his daughter actually, she lives and went to school up in New York City. And Roger many times would take a trip up to see her, and he would ride the bus. They call it the mega bus. We would always refer to it as the Rogers bus out there because we'd see it and off he'd go. And I'd say, Roger, how was your trip? And he'd come back, and during his time up there, he liked to go up there and spend time, and he would tell me about some of the wonderful things. And I know New York City is a wonderful town. And he would tell me, if you want to see the skyline, go over to the Brooklyn Bridge over there and look over. He said, if you want to be inspired, take a tour of the Statue of Liberty. Or go to that 911 Memorial Museum. He said, you will be inspired. He said, but if you want to be depressed and you want to feel terrible and you want to sadden your day, he said, I believe it was the corner of about 6th and 43rd. And he says, around that corner, they have a thing called the United States National Debt Clock. Anybody ever heard of it? I had to look it up. They say it's 25 foot long, weighs about 1,500 pounds, and there are 603 bulbs in this clock, and constantly it flashes the national debt. Now, I am no economist, trust me, but trust me, when you owe more than you own, there's trouble. I'm no economist, but I tell you, I am a preacher, and tell you how preachers think. And when you look at that, you go, wow. I wonder if heaven had a clock like that. A debt. Now, Jesus told us what? Amen. I hear. Pray for our debts. And what if there was a clock up there that every time that, you know, you sent click, click, you know? Every time you told a lie, click. Every time you had to have your own way, click. Every time you fell asleep doing one of Charlie's sermons, click, 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 click. Man, just think of it up there. And just think about how that thing just grow and grow and grow and grow. Wow. And you know, the math kind of works this way. The math is, heaven's a perfect place. And it's for perfect people. So it puts us in a perfect trouble, because we are not. We are not. So what do? Some people, when they start thinking about their lives and they start thinking about the things they've done and all like this, they go, wow, I better do something about this. I better do something. I better work a little harder. I better show some good works over here. I gotta go to church. I gotta go take care of the sick. I gotta go on all these pilgrimages. I gotta go. But the problem is still way back somewhere in the back of their mind, they're still thinking, but what if all I have done is still not enough? Or there's some people that they don't react with activity. They react with unbelief. And they go, wait a minute. How can we ever serve a perfect God? I just don't believe in Him. I don't believe in what it says. And it's so easy to find out the frustration and the weariness that comes from all that legalistic things that people are trying to do to work their way into heaven. And all the loneliness that people have when they talk about this thing, atheism. What is atheism? You know, I told him, I said, it's like going to a funeral and here's a fella, he's all dressed up, nowhere to go. It's bad. And it's amazing how people are either tired, or they're frustrated, or they're simply weary. But we in our minds and our hearts, we ask the question. And that's where what I read this morning comes in so beautifully. The writer of this book of Romans is the Apostle Paul. And he's the perfect one to answer this question. Now think about it. The Apostle Paul, he started out, you find him over in the book of Acts is where it begins. And he starts out by the fellow by the name of what? Saul. He was the most, man, he was big in his town. He was big. He was the most learned man. He was the most religious man. He was the Pharisee's Pharisee. He knew all the scriptures. He knew all those, and you know what? Through all those little scruples he found and everything he learned never changed him inside. Because he was bloodthirsty. There has never been an individual who challenged and who persecuted the church more than Saul. But you know the story. See, he knows the story. See? Hear him? That's the good part. You know the story. Then came his trip on the road to Damascus. When God knocked him off his high horse. And for 3 days he was blind. And I believe during those 3 days he had to look within. He had to look within his own heart. And it says that God came to him in a dream and told him to go to town and to see this man who would pray and his sight would be restored. And it said right away he got up and was baptized. And very, very soon, almost immediately after that, he began to go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that he'd been so against, the thing that he'd spent his whole life persecuting Christians and Christianity, what a change happened within his heart. And he wrote these wonderful scriptures telling so simply the truth that all have sinned and come short of that glory of a perfect God. But that's not where the story ends. For we know the wages of sin is death, but oh my goodness, that wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I like it when he gets over the part to the 8th chapter in the 1st verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Everybody wants to place blame. I don't know how this applies to you. We started with love songs. How many have ever been in love? Now look, don't raise your hand if you're a couple. If you're a couple, don't raise your hand out there, but we'll just leave it at that. Question your own self. I know one would be raising a hand, the other not. It'd be a big fight going on. All right. How many have ever been in debt? Wave your hand. There we go. You can do that. We can share on that one a little bit over there. We can share without getting all upset. You know what it is. You know what it is to be in a situation. You know what it is. You know what it is. But I'm here to tell you today that the greatest gift that has ever been given is Jesus Christ to this world. I love when we come in and we sing songs and we share praises. I love during the prayer time, and Miss Hattie, you did a wonderful job with prayer requests this time. See, all that clapping does nothing but upset her. She says, I'm not here for the applause. Pastor, you just a pastor. You're here because I believe you are a special person, but I think Mount Calvary, within these walls, everyone is a special person. Because God sent His Son for each and every one. Amen? Amen. So, I don't know what your love song is. I don't know what you're going to be playing later on this week. I don't know how special you're going to make that day, or I don't know how difficult it will be for you if you've lost a loved one. But I'm here to tell you that the book that I have open in front of me reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I don't know how many clicks that you've made in your life. I don't know how many times that you've fallen short. I thank God for what He did for me. I believe that of all the prayer requests and the praises I heard today, that And trust me, I hear things in prayer request time and they just touch my heart. And to hear Dee back there share that, what a joy to have family members to pray for her. And what a joy it is for her to pray for family members. Isn't that nice? Folks, you got a whole family in front of you. I saw people today and said, Brother, it's good to see you. Missed you last week. And he said, well, your prayers worked. Wow, what a greeting. I believe that our strength comes through our willingness to be upon our knees, lifting others' needs. A lot of times you got to do that even before you can get to your own needs. And I believe a loving God, one who would send His Son so that I can stand before you with no condemnation because of who Jesus Christ is. I believe it's a wonderful place to be. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today, and God, you've given us a wonderful spirit today. We've heard many things about love, and we've heard love songs were played, and God, we've read scriptures that point to how much that you loved us. So Heavenly Father, allow us to tell you how much we love you. God, we thank you for sending that Son to die upon that cross. And our simple acceptance of you within our hearts gives us that wonderful wonderful journey to eternal life. So we ask now, God, that you'll just simply soften our hearts. Allow us to always be thankful for what you've done for us. And give us the boldness to stand with your word open and proclaim there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies. Be your will. Bring us back again to sing praises unto your name. And we will thank you for having been in your house, have felt your presence, and sing praises unto your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen. I want you to sing a chorus.